This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, tale of two freaking halves last night. I was really upset, Mike. Really upset. I know this isn't. This is the intro. This isn't Brady going crazy here. The Nuggets lose to the Lakers. Second half was awful, and we'll get into that. Brock Wisney is going to join me today for the Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Solutions. I'm excited about that. Even though it's been a rough go for the Bears, we'll talk. We'll talk about it. Top stories of the day. Sean Keeler caught up with some former Broncos quarterbacks to talk about Jared Stidham. Yeah, it's going to be one of those shows, Mike. You ready? You ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
Pulse Show starts now. You ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready to rock and or roll.
I'm getting excited.
I'm headbanging.
I'm getting excited. You know, last week, Mike, what was I? A negative Nancy on a Wednesday. Nobody wants to be a negative Nancy on a Wednesday. Last Wednesday, I was. I was concerned about the Broncos-Bills game. Now I'm feeling the opposite today. I'm feeling very optimistic. That scares my brain because now it's like, you know, is the opposite going to happen on Friday where I feel differently and then the result is that the Broncos are done. And the Bo Nix injury did prove to be as bad as we all thought it would be.
Look, Jarrett is a mobile quarterback.
Kind of.
He's not like, you know, super mobile, but he's a mobile quarterback.
You're not designing running plays with him, though. With that in mind.
Yeah, you could design it. That's going to shock the defense.
I don't think so.
Going to go, look, that man's not going to be mobile. He's not going to run it. Oh, look.
He's not mobile.
Jarrett just ran the ball.
I wouldn't. So what I was talking to Ed Lamb about yesterday, which was phenomenal, by the way. Thanks to Coach for doing that. I really wanted to do that. There's a difference between mobile quarterbacks like that's part of their game and mobile quarterbacks that can get away if they need to. With Bo, I'm curious. I'd love to learn about Sean Payton's strategy with Bo Nix. I do wonder sometimes if it's like, okay, in a design play, you have four or five progressions to go through, right? With Bo, I wonder if it's more of, you're going to go through about two progressions, and then you know it's time to go. He's not sitting in that pocket, scanning. So they design a lot of plays where it's like quick option here, quick option there, then go. With Stidham, I think the game plan changes quite a bit. You're saying he's mobile. I've seen him run. I've seen, you know, against the Packers in a preseason game, he's like bulldozing guys. I've seen that before. I just don't know if you're designing, you know, QB run plays with
Why not do it?
Cuz he can't. He's not Bo Nix. He's not that
fast.
No,
he's not Bo Nix, but they're not going to expect it.
Now, but see, Aaron, go look at his scouting report. Go look at his NFL scouting report. Aaron says Jared Stidham was the number two dual threat quarterback coming out of high school. And there were some pretty impressive dual threat quarterbacks on that list. Well, did he do it in college? I mean, that's really the sample size we've seen of him. Did he do it in college? I mean, everybody's fast in high school, Mike. Speed in high school. Speed in college, speed in the NFL, those are all three different things.
Yeah, you can be fast in high school. Not a lot of people make the NFL.
I was somewhat fast in high school. I would be a turtle compared to the worst college football team. I would be a turtle, Michael.
I was always the second to last.
That doesn't shock me. Mike, you tell me if I'm wrong. Okay, if you're saying he's the number two dual threat, and I'm not doubting you, Aaron. I'm not doubting that information. I'm just saying that he might have been that guy in high school. When I say dual threat quarterback, That means he ran a lot. He had some good yards in college, right? Give me a guess how many yards you think he ran for during his time in Baylor and Auburn.
I'm going to guess 306.
224.
I don't think of him as a running quarterback. I think of him as a scrambling quarterback.
Yeah. His best year, he had 153 yards rushing with Auburn, and he ran it 103 times. In 2018 with Auburn, he registered 1 yard. He carried it 72 times. He throws. He's not what you would call, now, hey, I hope I eat my words, and suddenly he's running all over the place. But that doesn't seem to be his game. So, yeah, he might have been a number two dual threat coming out of high school, but then your speed, you slow down, I guess, as you go, or everybody speeds up, either way you want to look at it. So when we say mobile, okay, I'll give you, is he a mobile quarterback? Is he mobile? There's a difference between is he mobile and is he a mobile quarterback. Would you agree? Lamar Jackson is a mobile quarterback.
Is he Jim Kelly or is he Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson is a mobile quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is kind of more, he's mobile. Maybe starting out, it was more he's a mobile quarterback. But it changed. Aaron Rodgers was mobile. Aaron Rodgers was mobile, right? I don't think we said that was part of his game. He just could do it if he needed to.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers was more, for me, it was more, he played in between, but he loved that pocket.
Yeah.
They didn't design plays for him because he loved the pocket. But if a play broke down, you still had to worry about him, but you never put a spy on him.
Yeah.
Because you worried way more about his arm.
Yeah. I'm not arguing semantics here. I'm just saying there's a difference between Jarrett Stidham and Bo Nix. Bo Nix ran for, you know, he played more years in college too, but, you know, to be fair, he averaged like 300 yards a season in rushing. He ran for 1,600 yards in his career. His best year he ran with Oregon was 510 yards. That's when I start looking at half of 1,000, then I'm like, okay, yeah, you're a mobile quarterback. Aaron says, I don't care who the quarterback is, but if your quarterback is your leading rusher, you got problems on the offensive side of the ball. I think it helps with escaping the pocket to keep the play going. Do I think he can do that? Yeah, I think he can do that. Yes. I don't think that's a design, though. I don't think that's part of the plan. That little run with Bo Nix that actually injured his ankle was a designed Bo Nix quarterback run. I don't see that unless it's a quarterback sneak.
I don't think you're going
to
do that.
No, I don't see that.
But what you do want and what they want in the NFL is a Jarrett type of quarterback.
He is the
NFL quarterback. He's not the elite NFL quarterback. He's never going to be a starting quarterback like he thinks he's going to be.
His scouting report, Mike, I went and read it last night. His scouting report when he was in college, when he was heading into the draft, because wasn't he drafted in the fourth round by the Patriots?
He was, and that was a shock to everybody.
Yeah, his scouting report was, he will be a proven backup quarterback who will probably get a couple of shots at starter at some point in his career. That, to summarize, translation, he's a career backup. But I'm telling you what right now, Mike, you know the league ain't patient. If Jarrett Stidham goes out Sunday and rips it up and the Broncos win, and then 2 weeks later, Jarrett Stidham goes out on that Sunday and rips it up and the Broncos win, homeboy's getting a contract. He's going somewhere to start at quarterback.
Oh, the Broncos are going to trade his rights.
He's playing. Oh, yeah, because what's his contract?
Through 2026.
So just he's got one more season? Yeah, they would trade him.
Yeah, and it's a...
Maybe.
It's a friendly contract for the Broncos. He only makes, I think he made the $6 million this year and then $4 million next
year. I thought he was a cancer in the locker room. Cancers in the locker room don't take pay cuts to be a backup.
Yeah, he's not going to... I don't think he's going to. I think the Broncos, when they trade him, because I think they will.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because he's going to go off.
You think he's going to go off? Here's my take.
I don't think he's going to go off like 300 yards, but I think he's going to get his yards.
People are going at me today because they're saying I'm being inconsistent. Based on my last whole minute, Michael, brought to you by Bank of Colorado, there's only one.
There's only one.
There's only one. Although several locations, but there's only one Bank of Colorado.
Because there's no bank, unlike like Bank of Colorado.
Correct. Thank you. I'm saying that I don't see the big drop-off this year. And people are being going at me saying, wait a second. Last week, Brady, you said that Bo Nix, he was going to be the reason Denver won. And he was. But I could also put that in the same vein as any quarterback on this team. I just think everything I said kind of worked out last week. What did the defense do, Mike? Negatively. They gave up points and they gave up yards. I feared that would happen. I think this defense is still very good. I don't know that they're as elite as they were at their top. I think they hit their peak somewhere 75% of the season. At the 75% of the season mark.
Which was the knock on them last year.
Yes, and I think they're still going to make plays. I think this is not the no-fly zone defense, though. I think we can put that argument to bed. This is not the same. They're very good. I just don't know if that defense... I mean, they got a lot of turnovers in that game. That was huge, but they still gave up, what, 30? If they can get the turnovers, that's the great equalizer. I mean, you and I are different. You're saying, hey, I want a defense that can just be a brick wall and make stops. I don't care about the turnovers as much. I care about the turnovers. You can give up 60 yards every possession. You find a way to end that possession with a turnover of some sort, not more often than not, but a couple times in a game, that's going to win you a lot of football games.
But turnovers do dry up. That's the one thing.
They didn't dry up for the no-fly zone. They didn't dry up for the no-fly zone defense.
They're the exception.
Why didn't it? Because I always hear this. Turnovers are about luck and circumstance.
And you do hear you make your own luck.
Yeah, but I don't. That defense was so aggressive, man. Turnovers happen when you have elite pass rushers and when you have tight corners and you have excellent vision with your safeties. And the Broncos that year had it. They constantly were coming at you on the edge. The quarterback had to make too quick of a decision. And that stuff got picked off. So I don't buy into the whole turnovers are more luck. Yeah, sometimes being in the right spot, but you have to be in the right spot to get the turnovers.
I don't believe that turnovers are luck, but I do believe that turnovers dry up. Like the ball bounces one way. You drop the ball. Sometimes. You just don't have the day. Sometimes, like, the quarterback throws the pass, just the right pass, right over your hands, and there's nothing you can do about it.
It didn't
dry
up.
So, turnovers, love them. I just want a defense that can consistently stop you.
Well, either way, my point was that maybe it shouldn't have been just about Bo Nix, but it comes down to the quarterback play. I just don't think, and again, the offense was in jeopardy of that in that game. As we rolled through that game, in the first quarter, things were playing out like I had feared. Denver rolls down. They have to kick a field goal. Buffalo marches down, scores a touchdown. Denver goes 3-and-out. Buffalo gets the ball back. They're driving. Then they fumble it. That changed everything. And from that point, Bo Nix said, I'll take it from here, and had a hell of a game. But... My point was, I don't know how great this defense is. I mean, listen, Mike, here's the deal. New England's number 3 overall offense. They're number 4 in pass yards per game. And they're number 6 in rush yards per game. They're number 2 in points per game. Plus 3 turnover differential. This is a very good offense. Can Jarrett Stidham survive a shootout against a Patriots team that's likely to put up a lot of points? Esai Chris is buying into Ed Lamb's philosophy yesterday. Brady, I think we'll see Ellinger better at the run. I don't think so. They've already made their... Like, if Ed Lamb wants to tell us that a year ago, like at the beginning of the season, that maybe Ellinger should be the backup. But Jarrett Stidham's the backup, and he will be the guy, unless he goes down. Do you think Sean Payton throws a wrinkle in with Sam Ellinger?
No, I think the Broncos would have to be losing by 30 points, and you'd have to have a really, really bad-looking Jarrett Stidham. Like, Jarrett would have to have thrown three interceptions that were just like, here's an interception on a screen pass. Here's a, I'm just throwing the ball away, but I'm throwing the ball away right to a Patriot.
Yeah.
Like, he'd have to look so bad.
Well, it's a big weekend, man. I'm feeling optimistic today. That could change. Hooligans, text me today on the First Advantage text line. 888-530-0043. Tell me why the Broncos are going to win. Tell me why. Or, if you're one of those, tell me why the Broncos are going to lose. I want to hear your thoughts, but I'm going to give you a challenge. Three words. Is that, or should I do four words? Three words or four words? Three words. Tell me why the Broncos are going to win or lose. But you got to do it in three words or you're disqualified from the game that we're playing.
I've got one word.
It's three words. I just said it. I said it 18 times, and you say you got one word. It's three words.
Oh, in three words?
Yes.
Defense, defense, defense.
You can't just say the same word three times. I knew you were going to do this kind of stuff. Can we
defense,
get
defense, offense, special teams. Defense, offense, special.
Defense, offense, special? Why say few more word when few word do trick?
Well, that's three words.
Are you saying that the defense and offense are special? Is that what you're saying?
They are special.
Are you referring
and also,
to special
I can't
teams?
Say special teams because special teams is
offense,
two
defense, special. That why win. Can we get to the good, the bad, the ugly, please?
There are commas in there, Brady. There are implied commas.
There's no implied commas. Your whole life is a comma.
And I follow the Oxford comma, so there's a comma after comma after. Just get rid
can
of
can we
the
get
end.
To the good, the bad, the ugly, please? So no. We can stop with whatever you're trying to do. The good, the bad, the ugly is presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good. Last night. Hey. CSU, you got to beat them when you can, bro. Okay? CSU beat Air Force. And Air Force has a lot of stuff going on because Joe Scott, their head coach, has been suspended. But you got to take them when you can get them. And the Rams beat Air Force 81-52. What I liked about this the most is I like to, you know how I am. I like to pick players out. I like to pick them out. I like to pick them out, Mike. Cheer them on and see, predict whether they're going to be stud or not. JoJo McIver, write it down in your little Hooligan notebooks that I know you all keep. When you take notes during the show, I just picture you guys all just taking notes. JoJo McIver. It's nothing flashy. 9 points. Last night was the beginning of JoJo McIver. Assuming he stays at CSU, we have to do that every time now. But I think that guy's going to be stud. Rams win 81-52. The bad for me, it's kind of bad and ugly. The bad is the Nuggets the second half of that game. I mean, with like 30 seconds left or whatever, however much time was left on the clock, Denver shot 54.5% in the first half and 34.1% in the second. They missed 10 shots in a row at one point. The Lakers went on like a 16-0 run. I wanted to throw up. The ugly for me is I don't care. The Lakers suck. I hate the Lakers. You would talk about teams that I absolutely hate. It's the Lakers. And I'm all in on this now. I used to like Luka. I used to even say that even though he's a Laker, I still kind of like him. No. Can't stand Luka Doncic. I get that he's Joker's best friend, or he's one of his friends, but I loathe the Los Angeles Lakers. Just absolutely hate them.
Buy into your hate, Brady. Come to the dark side.
I don't like any of their players. LeBron James, I don't like him. DeAndre Ayton, who played 4 seconds and had a boo-boo, I don't like him. I did like Marcus Smart. I liked him in college, too. But I don't like him anymore. I don't like Rui. I don't like former Nugget Jared Vanderbilt. I used to like Drew Timmy when he played for Gonzaga, but I don't like Drew Timmy anymore. I kind of like Gabe Vincent, but I don't like him. None of the guys on this team. Don't like JJ. And the Nuggets lose 115-107. All right, Mike, shall we take a break? Walk with me as we take a break. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
Basketball is on. Northern Colorado's leader in preps. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Interior Sprinkler Systems presents The Brock Wisney Show on KFKA.
I called them Interior Sprinkler Solutions earlier. Interior Sprinkler Systems, Brock.
Yeah.
We need to find some solutions, though. That's what we're searching for today, man. I'm not just saying this because you're sitting here with me. I said this yesterday. Ed Lamb was in studio with me all day yesterday, Brock. Yeah. And he believes. He believes. And I'm watching these games, this UNC Bears basketball team, and I feel, I'm like, man, this is a good basketball team. This is a good team.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, just something switches and wide open shots are just being missed, whatever.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I hate to simplify basketball that way and just say it's missed shots, but you guys are doing the right things to get those open shots.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough game sometimes. I think that, you know, when you're in the flow and you're winning games and everything's great, those shots sometimes just fall, right? So it's, I think that, you know, the way that we put it is we got to stop sometimes being front runners almost, right? So we'll be up and we're hitting shots like the Idaho State game, for example. We're hitting everything. We feel great. We're getting stops. And that's kind of what it boils down to. But, you know, when it gets into that nitty gritty time, or, you know, the second half of that second half, you know, is really when we're like, okay, like, we can't shrivel up. We gotta come out here, be confident still, and just, you know, step up to the moment, which we haven't done so far, but we're going to find it.
All just close battles, too. I mean, games where you were ahead big, there's comebacks. Oh, you guys were down by against teams where you made comebacks. You've it looked like it was over with like several seconds left, and you find different ways to put yourself at least within a one last shot, kind of like what we saw with Montana State on Monday. So there's just close games where you talked about this in the beginning of the season in the non-conference schedules. Mm-hmm. Like, we were in a lot of close games, and fortunately for us, that went our way.
Yeah.
Now you're kind of stumbling in this spot right now. How's the team doing with this?
Yeah, you know, the morale is still, you know, strong. I think that we have a group that, you know, is very tight-knit. We back each other up. No one's in their own deal. But at the same time, you know, when you're not seeing the fruits of your labor, when you're showing up to practice and you're playing super hard and you're being connected and you're giving everything you got and it just doesn't go your way, sometimes you're like, you want to hang your head, right? And I think that the big thing right now is just staying the course. You know, keep doing the same thing we do day in and day out, because, you know, when you start letting those things affect you and let it affect practices or how you talk to your teammate, that's when you really give up on the season. And no one's given up on the season on our team, you know. And I think our bubble, our group, is definitely, you know, still fighting, and we're going to keep fighting. And I think because of that, we're going to end up on the bright side.
Well, I mean, it's still, you know, you look at the standings and, you know, Portland State, which you guys had a battle with them the other night, too. They're 5-0. That's going to be tough to catch, but you can it's not out of the question.
No.
But getting up there kind of in that, what is it, to get the first round bye, is the top four?
I think that the bottom four have four games in the tournament.
Okay.
Everyone else has three. That first round specific bye is 1 and 2, and then the other groups are those middle four teams.
I mean, it is. You kind of adjust your goals as you go here, but I would imagine it's like, hey, we got to try to find a way to avoid that bottom four.
Yeah, really. Obviously, I think that when it comes to March, our goal is to make that run. It starts now, right? So we got to make sure that we get out of those bottom four, and I absolutely think we will. We're going to get into a flow here and, you know, start winning some games again. And really, yeah, it's the next best action is how you put it.
But. So off tomorrow night, because you guys played three games, and would you had the Thursday game, you had the Saturday
Thursday,
game,
Saturday,
and Monday.
Monday, yeah.
So a lot of basketball
there.
Yeah,
it was.
And then so no game tomorrow, but then you'll be on the road against Northern Arizona on Saturday.
Yep. So we'll have a little bit of time. Today's practice will just be us. We won't be scouting. We'll be getting back to the grind, you know, in the darks of it, and just, you know, just playing hard and You know, tomorrow and the next day will be scout kind of, and just moving on to that game.
What's your message right now to the team?
You know, I think that the message is we can't fracture, we can't splinter. You know, you've seen it before with teams, you know, that maybe have a rough stretch or start off bad in conference and they just fall apart, right? They just kind of give up and guys are worrying about their own deal or what's going to happen next season or where am I going to land? Just kind of, you know, stay present, stay together. And, you know, personally, I'm just like, man, I just want to approach each day the best that I absolutely can, each game, just do the best I absolutely can and, you know, let the results work themselves out.
That's an interesting point you make, too. Human nature does tend to settle in no matter what you're doing. And in this day and age of transfer portal and stuff, you obviously don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But that is something that might be something that festers with other teams. And that is important because, you know, you get to this point where, again, everything you want is out in front of you. Either way, whether you're number one seed or you're the last seed, you have to win several games in a row in March to go dancing. If that's I know that's the goal. So keeping everybody kind of in that same like focus is a battle. Maybe not with this team, but maybe, you know, throughout nationally, what we see with teams is maybe at this stage there are guys that are like, what am I going to do next year?
I mean, in general, it's so hard to not fall into that. You know, I've been a part of some really good teams here, you know, my past 2 years, but even so, sometimes near the end of the year, some guys, you know, their mind's drifting. You can tell, or they're thinking about their next step, or they're worried where they're going to land, and they know they're going to be in the portal. And I think that we've built a really good culture here, believe it or not. And it's like none of these guys are worried about what's next, is at least how it feels right now. And we have to make sure that we, you know, cultivate that and keep that, you know, the standard for the rest of the season. And I think that if we, you know, grab onto each other and, you know, stay present and where our feet are at for, you know, for the rest of the season, I think that, you know, the sky's the limit for the team.
What would you kind of put on what's going on with it? Because, you know, we look back and, I mean, you guys were riding high. Everything was looking great. Yeah. You beat Colorado on the road. Since then, obviously, a 1-6 start in the Big Sky Conference. What are you seeing out there that's kind of going wrong? Is there one kind of way to summarize it?
Yeah, you know, I think that I think for a moment there we lost our identity. I think that, you know, a big piece of it is you know, our core group, just like me, Zach, and Quinn. We were making simple mistakes we didn't prior make. Maybe we thought we were too good or so, and I think that just led to us kind of, you know, not being as connected. You know, it starts with just energy. And for those few games, starting at the Montanas and then against Weber State, we just kind of felt disconnected, you know, like we weren't on the court together. And Portland State, I thought we played great, just came up short. Sac State, we got up big and we kind of fell apart there at the end. And we came back against Montana State and it was a big infliction point. You know, our coach was like, we got to make these changes now. And he told us a few things. He said, like, we got to rebound. We got to stop giving up more points in the second half as the first half. So we go out against Montana State. We out-rebounded by 20, you know, and then we hold them to the pretty much the same amount, 36 and 37. So I think that we stepped up to that challenge. You know, it just didn't fall the way we wanted. You know, offense is not flowing right now. That's just what it is. And I think that this adversity could really lead to great things, because if we learn right now how to start winning games while our offense isn't flowing, then we pick that up come March and come tournament time, then obviously it almost feel like we're unstoppable at that point.
It is interesting because basketball is such a mental game. Like, you it have is. To lock in every single possession. You could be having the best game of your life, but all it takes is three possessions where you're thinking of something else. You're not on your defensive assignment or what you're supposed to do offensively. And those three possessions could be the difference in a game.
Yeah, it's hard, and I'm always trying to find ways to, you know, crack that code. But at the same time, you're not going to like figure it out, right? There's not, you know, a moment where you're like, oh, I'm going to do this, and then you do it for 100 games straight. Like, there's moments. For me, I think currently what my approach is, and my approach against Montana State was just like, okay, I just want to play as absolutely hard as I can. And make sure that after this game, I have no regrets about what I did or how I played. And I thought that went well against Montana State, and that's something I want to carry over. And, you know, as an athlete, you're always trying to find those little tips and tricks, how to, like, switch your mind a little, right? How can I make sure my mind is only on this game for this next 40 minutes?
And you were playing your butt off. I mean, a great stat line for you, too. 18 points, 7 boards, and 5 assists. You know, kind of a very quiet, almost a quiet approach to a triple-double there. I mean, we were getting close, but I know that's nothing to you. Like,
no,
you don't pay attention to that at all. But you know, you're seeing it. You know, great 3-point shooter in Zach Block. You know, he's kind of been up and down with that. His shooting at the beginning of the season was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So finding that shot for a lot of these guys is tough. Even when Quinn Danker went off the other night, I believe that was against Sac State.
It was, yeah.
You know, there was a lot of turnovers in that situation too. So trying to kind of balance everything out at this point is what I know you guys are going to be working on today.
Yeah, you know, I think that it comes down to, you know, finding ways to just, you know, be together and be who we are, and then also bringing other guys along, right? So we're just trying to find ways, and Ringneary's been stepping up. He's, you know, I thought he's been great this past few games, just playing hard, making winning plays, and even last game, Arik showing signs of life. So we don't know exactly how it's going to look, and coach will obviously be the judge of that and mix things up or our lineups. But the things that we can control is, you know, how we approach it and how we approach, you know, bringing our other teammates up with us.
It is interesting how you kind of talk about how, hey, you know, we were getting up in these games, like the Sac State game. You guys had a pretty good lead. You were up at the half. I think you got up by like 16 or something.
Yeah.
And then the second half was kind of a different story, or at least mid-second half. Mid-second, like you said, the second half of the second half, you corrected that against Montana State, like you mentioned. Maybe this is that point where, okay, you're learning how to dominate early, which is important. But being able to finish is important. You guys finished against Montana State. Just didn't get the win, but you outscored them. You outproduced them. Finding that code of putting it together, is that more of a mental thing? Or is it just making shots?
I think that we can't say it's just making shots, because then we can't control it. You know that we got to find ways that we can control that outcome. And we have to find ways to win when we're not making shots specifically. And I think that, you know, it comes down to, you know, just staying solid. I think that we get to that second half sometimes. We're like, okay, we played great. This is going to be a little, like, it's going to be easy maybe or something in our mind.
And
I think that we just got to be like, okay, this is going to be, we got to bring it up a notch even. Like, however hard we played, however detailed we were in the first half, how are we going to make this even better? And then if they start playing better, then if we bring it up a notch, then it shouldn't affect it.
The great basketball teams, I mean, all basketball teams go through this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it at the NBA, you see it in college. Because it's like, if you were to just take one possession against any big sky school, it might be 50-50. I mean, one possession, who's going to win that? I don't know. But that's why it's such a long, process where you're locked in. The teams that usually figure that out, and sometimes it takes them a little bit longer, it seems like those are the ones that are dancing.
Well, yeah, you know, these moments and these stretches are what really define, you know, the great teams. And like, I think our coach was showing us something, it might have been like a week or two ago, but it was about OKC. They started the season like what, like 24-1 or something like that?
Yeah, they were unstoppable.
And everybody's like, oh my gosh, this team's going to beat Golden State. And then they go through that, you know, that stretch where they were like 5-7, 4-7. And it's not nearly as, you know, looks as bad as our stretches right now. But at the same time, that's where they're like, okay, how are we going to get better from this? And that's kind of how we have to approach it right now.
All right, we got Brock Wisney in here for the Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Normally he joins us on Monday, but you're kind of busy on Monday. Yeah. I don't know, a basketball game or something.
Yeah. You guys have to play. I'm not sure.
Something happening. But we love catching up with you, man. I asked this. We did our buy or sell segment yesterday with Ed Lamb in studio, and I said, hey, are the Bears cooked? And nobody bought that.
Yeah.
In of our trio here, the fella behind you, UNC head football coach Ed Lamb, and yours truly. Like I'm not just saying this because I love following the Bears. I do feel like this is too good of a team to have that conference record.
Right? I agree. Yeah.
So that's something's gonna change.
It will.
All right, we got Brock Wisney in studio with us. Let's take a short break and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Little Holy Diver right there.
Yeah.
Is that Kill Switch, Mike? Is that Kill Switch's version? I think it's going to be like in your head coming up on Saturday, man.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Holy Diva, you're just going to be throwing it down, man.
I'll throw it to my pregame playlist.
Yes, throw it in there. Yeah. It's a little heavy, not necessarily inspirational, but it'll fire you up, man.
Yeah,
it'll fire you
up. I'll see what it does.
I was talking to you a little bit about like the teams that I watch. You know, whether it's NBA or college. You know, looking at CSU win last night over Air Force. I still go, that might be a team that's still trying to figure stuff out even late. I don't see them going on that crazy run that they went on last year. And maybe I'm wrong. And I'm not a genius, Brock. I know you probably learned that through these discussions.
No, I think you're a genius.
But I still watch this Bears team, and I'm going, and I'm saying this, they're too good to be 1-6.
Yeah.
They're too good to be 1-6, and I truly believe that.
Yeah, I think that every single game that we go into, we believe that we're going to win that game. And, you know, the matchups and the type of team that we have, I don't think that there's been a moment where we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to lose to this team. I think back to my freshman year. We had a very talented team, right? Obviously, Dalton Kinnick, Dalen Kuntz, Matt Johnson, Riley Abercrombie, like good guys. But I just didn't feel like we would be winning games.
Yeah.
Like the team culture wasn't there. You know, the belief wasn't there. Got so many guys off in their own deal, but then, you know, it comes down to this team. I think that we have what it takes, and all of those intangibles are there, and I think that we're absolutely going to turn stuff around in conference here.
I'm gonna throw up a tweet later on. I'm gonna say the Bears are going on a streak here. They're going on a streak.
Okay,
like
yeah,
never before.
Yeah,
and we're gonna get into it. Do you want to do game balls?
Yeah, game balls.
We have three games to go over.
Can't miss out on game balls.
I love doing this. And like I said, man, you're one of the best ones at this. You think about it. You come up with this,
I do.
Man. This is what I love. You bring dedication to everything you do. Okay, so we got three games to go over. First off, it's the Portland State game, right? That was Thursday. Where are we going there?
You know, I thought there was a few good games here. I'm actually going to go with Ring here, Ring Neary. He had 12 points, but, you know, he's 3 of 4 from three. I don't know if you saw it, but the dunk he had.
Yes, yeah.
Like, unreal. Yeah. That type of momentum shift, really. So we ended that half up, like, 8 or, like, 5 or something like that. I'm not sure. But a lot of it was due to the momentum that he gave us there. Like, Trayvon Minot, like, probably the best defensive player in the league. Just huge, like, 7 foot, probably, like, 8 arms. I don't even know. And Ring rises up and dunks on him. So that was big. I'm giving that one to Ring.
That's back to back for him.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's playing really well right now.
And that's a great, you know, that's a guy we talked about a couple weeks ago. Like, hey, maybe not really finding his game right now. And then suddenly, hey, 2 Brock Wisney game balls in a row.
He's turning it up. For Sac State, Quinn Danker.
Monster game.
You can't have 29 points and not get the game ball.
I mean, you had 28.
Don't worry about me.
And you don't give yourself game balls.
No, never, never.
Okay, Quinn Danker. Quinn's got a lot of these. I just wrote 29. His name's Quinn, not 29. you Montana State game on Monday. You were the high scorer in this. You were whispering a triple double at one point. So was Quinn Danker, I guess.
Yeah.
But where are you going there?
I'm actually going Vincent Delano.
Nice.
You know, I think that he played pretty well offensively. There's a lot of stuff. You know, everybody has stuff to fix, whether it's Vince with turnovers or, you know, me a few defensive things, Quinn with some turnovers, but I thought Vince stepped up and he was aggressive that game and knocked down some shots. That was good to see.
Is that his first one?
It is. I think so.
I'm going to tally these up at the end of the year, and whoever has the most gets a. We're going to take him to Big City Roadhouse.
Yeah, sounds good.
And it'll be on Micah, of course. He'll pay. He won't go though. We're not going to bring him in public.
I'm glad.
But we'll do that. How about that? Can we do that? Can I do that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, that's legal now, right?
If it comes down,
I'm not paying.
No, you're paying. We'll talk about it later. Yeah. You owe. You owe.
Yeah, we'll get you some Mountain Dews in exchange.
Yeah, we'll get you something. We'll bring you something back, buddy.
You got to get me the live wires the regular Mountain Dew and some of the rare Mountain Dews in Australia that they haven't released in America yet.
That's a little too much.
Why do you have to be a nerd about that? Like, just say you like soda pop.
I love Mountain Dew.
Just say you like soda pop. Well, in Australia, they haven't released this one just yet, and we have to do that. You know, really? We'll bring you back some napkins. That's what we'll bring you, okay? If you're lucky, we'll bring napkins. Brock, let's wrap up on the other side. It's the Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com.
Carry the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
That's not baby metal.
No, I wasn't playing Betty Metal for you. I was playing Chris Cornell.
I know. I just the things that he brings up, you guys think he's bad on the air.
Yeah.
Like, wait till you hear him off the air.
I'm going to bring it on the air.
Yeah. Eastside Chris says, if Michael pays, could that be an NCAA violation? I think Michael just being alive is an NCAA violation.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Maybe.
I think the baby metal next hour.
No. And we'll see. Brock, man, big one coming up for you guys. Every game. Pretty. We're getting down to it, man. We're almost at the end of January here. So I know emotions are high, but you guys are going to lock it in. And you're going to play some Holy Diver for the team, and away we go.
Maybe just for myself.
Well, you got the team blast set up. No one's going to like it.
We'll see.
Yeah, you're saying no one's going to like our music. Michael, we're together on that. No one likes our music, okay?
I would.
Brock's the only one.
Brock, you have a diverse taste in music.
Brock does,
so Brock likes some of my other forms of music that I like.
Sam Cooke. Yeah.
Sam Cooke?
Yeah. Love Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
The guy cooks.
What does he sing? What does he sing?
You didn't hear my joke.
It wasn't a joke. It wasn't very good. Brock, man, best of luck on Saturday. And we'll look forward to we'll catch up with you Monday.
We'll
get back to kind of a regular schedule.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks. I'm excited to get on the road and just get a dub.
Go get a dub. Let's go talk about a dub.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll have some fun with that. All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good week.
Thanks for having me.
The Brock Wisney Show, presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.